You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
The Clement Maniatela Show.
Let's walk the talk.
All right, so Andile Nongongo is the CEO of NSFAS, and he's going to join me now to discuss a number of things. I did say earlier that for the first time since 2017, NSFAS actually received an unqualified audit, right? This is the first time since 2017. And we're going to be talking about why that is important for the financial health of the institution. I want to get an update as well on the last chance applications. That's what they launched a couple of weeks ago, giving students the last chance to apply for funding for the year 2021, those that didn't meet the deadline, and we'll get some update from the CEO as to how many people, how many applications have received and how many have been approved. But I want you to call in if you've got some issues. I've been just looking at some of the concerns students have been raising. Some are saying that they're still waiting, right, for NSFAS to make the payment. They have already been approved for funding, but payment hasn't come through. And when they check their application status on the website, it either says this is still being progressed or whatever reasoning they get, but they still don't have the money. So if you've got some concerns around NSFAS, you can give us a call. The CEO may not be able to be responding to each case, but we will take your details and then we'll pass it over to his team at NSFAS and they will see how they can assist. Thank you so much for making time, Mr. Nongongo. Thank you. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Clement, and good morning to you and to your listeners. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations on receiving your first unqualified audit. That's since 2017, right? How significant is that for the financial health of this key institution?
No, thank you very much. It's quite important or significant for us to have achieved this unqualified audit. The reason why it's important is, firstly, it is part of the bigger plan that we've put together with the board in terms of turning the institution around. Secondly, it's important for the fact that, when you look at when I was in your show before, we're unpacking the results of that time. Then there were a number of qualification issues that were raised, and the view amongst many stakeholders was that we were not going to be able to turn these issues around in a short space of time. In fact, others were projecting 2 years. So it's quite important to note that this has been done in a space of 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
with the new board, and what that shows is it shows the drive of this current board with its new management team to making sure that we put together these changes that we've set ourselves to implement. Also, it's important in as far as, you know, when you're managing the kind of funds we are managing state funds, but over and above the state funds, we're also managing funds from other funders who have trusted us to manage their bursary schemes. So it is important to then show that as an institution, we are able to account for funds properly, and we are able to account for them properly and also report accordingly.
Yeah. And speaking of the board, I saw that they've been calling on the private sector to also assist with funds for students in the tertiary sector. How do they see this happening? Is it because you've got some limitations and financial capacity constraints, or do you just want to ensure you've got enough for future applications?
I think there's a number of ways to look at it, Clement. So let's put it this way. As it stands today, government is committed to funding eligible students whose household income is 350 and below. So in other words, those students are covered by government. Of course, we've seen that in the last in the current academic cycle, issues such as postgraduate, because NSFAS only funds the first qualification. It doesn't fund second qualifications or postgraduate. So it's important for other funders to come in to cover the part that is not covered by government. I mean, year in, year out, we get protests at the beginning of the year where you have the so-called missing middle that is unable to register because there are certain funds or amounts they have to pay to institutions. Now, having other funders come on board, it is to bridge that gap that is not funded by government, and also for certain types of, such as postgraduates, that is not funded by government or NSFAS, that we then have the private sector come in to assist. I mean, if we had more funds from the private sector, it would be possible to expand perhaps the qualification criteria. So in reality, this is not just a government problem. It's really a problem for the entire country, because once the students have completed their studies, they are supposed to then contribute to the economy. And where do they contribute in the economy? In the main, they're supposed to contribute through employment in the private sector. And of course, public sector does also benefit. So hence we say that when the board is looking at the private sector, is also a source of funding or a source of addressing this. Of course, you also know that from government, funds are not always enough, because our country is facing a lot of socioeconomic issues, and of course the economy as well, because of COVID, has struggled. So we do need all the help that we can get. But of course, private funders want to know, if we give you this money, will you be able to manage it properly? Will you be able to account for it properly? And the opinion that we have received from the AG is beginning to show that we are on the right track. Of course, it doesn't mean that with the opinion that we have, there's no areas. There's still a lot of areas of improvement for us, but at least we are able to show that we can account for our monies in a proper manner at this stage.
Yeah. I'm going to get to some of the inquiries that our listeners have. I see their messages coming through in WhatsApp and some calls. I want to get a quick update first on the last chance applications. You opened that on the 18th of August. The closing date was on the 9th of September. And this was for students that may have failed to meet the deadline for this year's funding. How many applications did you receive now, and how many have you been able to process?
So also, just Clement, by way of background, I know we don't have time. So part of the reason we took this, it was not just about the fact that students were not able to apply, but more so it was also about solving the problem, because the very same students now that we did not have had a chance to apply, it would have meant that, and if we accept that they can't afford, there would have been the very same cohort of students who would have struggled in next year to register because of outstanding fees and so forth. So it was really a call that the board made to make sure that at least we try and minimize, if not avoid, the issues that happen year in, year out, where there are student protests. Now, in terms of the applications we received about 21,359 applications. We have evaluated about 74% of that, which is about 15,754 that is evaluated. About 12,244 of those, we are saying they are eligible for funding. 16%, which is 3,510. Is not eligible, and then there's about 26% of those applications that are still in progress, some of which we are still awaiting supporting documents from the students themselves. Some we are just going through the evaluation process internally.
21,000 applications, that's a big number. Do you have more money? Because my understanding is for the 2020-2021 financial year, you spent about 37.1 billion rand, right? So do you have additional money to at least respond to these applications that you have that have come through this window?
We don't have additional money, Clement, in this way. That you'd recall that government funded us to the tune of 43.1 billion approximately this year.
Okay.
So part of the reason why we opened this call, we were seeing that there may be some, because I think what we've seen also is that not as many students were registered as it had been projected. It could be attributed to COVID or other circumstances. So we are trying to accommodate these applications within the funds that we have. Certainly, it's been very clear from government that there will not be additional funds to accommodate any extras this year. So we are working within the budget that we have.
Okay, but what's remaining on the budget after you had settled the balance for the applications you received and approved earlier?
So, as it stands now, based on the registration information that we have,
mm-hmm.
We have committed with the students that we funded earlier in the year, we've committed about 37 billion, as you indicated, which means the balance is between 43 billion and 37. That's what we need to work with.
Do you think it's going to be sufficient to at least cover as many of the 21,000 applications? And do you have a plan should it not cover all of that?
We do have a plan, Clement, but at this stage, I think, and of course, our assessment based on these applications that we'll be able to cover. Of course, based on the number that we have seen, before we went out and issued the window, we had done our projections, and our projections had indicated that we'll be within, and of course, with these number of applications, we think we'll still be within the required budget.
Okay, all right. I'm going to go to the questions shortly on the line and on our WhatsApp line, but just what people are asking about is the application for 2022, the academic year. When are those going to open?
So, Clement, for the application 2022, it's also one of the improvement projects that we are working on. In fact, it was you, Clement, who bemoaned the fact that, amongst other stakeholders, of course, including the students, the fact that it takes us about 5 to 6 months before we make decisions after students apply.
Mm.
So we're listening to our stakeholders and are working on improving our application portal so that we can be able to make real-time decisions. So as and when a student is saying, pressing submit, to the extent that the information is there, it's properly available, we will then be able to give them an answer of whether or not they are eligible for funding. Of course, we're hoping that by now we would have issued this portal, and we know in terms of public sector, when we are sourcing services or products, we have to go through the procurement process. So that process was delayed a bit in that in the first round, we were not able to find suitable bidders. But that project now is in progress, and our aim is that by the beginning of November, we would have opened this portal that is for 2022 application.
Okay, let's go to the lines now. 011-883-0702. If you've had frustrations with the system, you've got a question, you've had problems with your application with NSFAS, you can give us a call. The CEO, as I said, may not be able to respond to every specific case until it's investigated. So what we'll do is we'll put the question, but what Laura is also doing on the WhatsApp line is respond to some of you sending us messages and asking for your names, the relevant information that we'll send to the CEO's team so that they can follow up on the issues you have. Jeffrey, let's start with you. You're calling from Roodepoort. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement.
Hey, Tara.
I'm a regular listener but a first-time caller.
Welcome.
Yes, thank you for bringing the CEO of NSFAS. Mine is a long issue. I'm a former student of a previous institution. It's been 3 years now, so my NSFAS account has not been paid. Couldn't graduate, get my certificate. So I called NSFAS a couple of times. So when I call NSFAS, they say they paid the money. They even sent me a statement showing that they paid the money. And when I took the statement to my institution, at the Tshwane University of Technology, they say the money has not been paid. In my institution, they even tell me that there are also people with similar problems from far back.
So I want to get clarity on what must be done. It's been 3 years now.
And you were unable to graduate. When did you finish, Geoffrey?
I finished in 2018. I still don't have my certificate now.
Sure, 2018. Okay.
2018.
All right. Mr. Nongoko? Yes, Mr. Nongoko, did you hear Jeffrey's case?
Yeah, I got the case, yes.
Yeah, what could be the issue here? Now? Yeah, if you can, please.
Yeah, I think it would be important for justice once again, as you indicated, to give us his specific details. I think what's throwing me off is the fact that we've given proof that we've paid the institution the same we have not. But maybe to talk broadly about students that may be facing similar issues. You would have heard of an issue of a thing or a project called Closeout. We are working with the institutions for the years 2017, 18, 19. There were a number of students who were stuck there because we have not been reconciling properly with the institutions in terms of who we paid for and who we have not paid for. And who was registered and not registered. So we have on our side completed our reconciliation. We are now building discussions with each and every institution to agree on the processes. To me, when I listen to this matter, it seems like it's a matter that is linked to that. But we are expecting to complete this project by the end of September. However, I think given that there was proof of payment given to the listener, it would be important if perhaps he shares with us, of course, his ID number, so that we can track the case closely.
Okay.
And of course, we do engage on one-on-one sessions through our teams with institutions. Perhaps we can clear that specific issue in that manner.
All right, Geoffrey, I'm going to put you back to Laura. I will get your details and we'll send that together with other details to the team. And I'm hoping that Mr. Nongoko, we can get feedback maybe in a week or 2 weeks' time. We'll get in touch with Kagiso to arrange and maybe we can get feedback on how many people, how many cases you've been able to take up and resolve arising from this conversation we're having. Let's go to, shall we go to Rebo? Rebo, you calling us from Tembisa. Good morning.
Hi, Clement. How are you, my brother?
Sharp. Go ahead.
Thanks, my brother. Thanks for taking my call. Clement, I'm frustrated, actually, to be honest. So I am a former student, right? And I am repaying the loan because that's a NSFAS. You have to repay it once you are working. Right, so I have made arrangements with them to say they can debit from my account each and every month, right? So we agreed on the certain amount that they should be deducting every month, right? But my issue and my problem is they are not deducting each and every month. So this month they'll deduct that amount. The following month they'll deduct less amount that we have agreed on. And the next month, they will not deduct at all. So that what does that mean? It means then they on their system, it says, I'm not paying back. So as I understand, my loan or the interest will go higher or something like that. So now when I'm speaking to you, I'm looking at my statement. I have logged in on my account. So in May 2020, last year, my balance, my outstanding balance, right? It's the same outstanding balance as now, if you know what I mean. So that means I was not paying at all.
But you have been paying. Money has been leaving your account.
I have been paying, the issue is just that I'm not sure if someone is compromising the system. I've agreed with them on debit, so automatically should be deducting that.
Okay, Rebo, I got your point. I'll put that to the CEO. Let's hear to Mkulili. You're calling us from Boxburg. Go ahead. Good morning.
Morning, sir. I just want to find out, eligible for funding, the flag for eligible for funding, how long will it stay on a student's profile? Can it stay for 4 months? and why? And the second question is, the students were ineligible for funding previously, and they reapply, and they're still waiting again. And one of the students was approved last week or 2 weeks ago, but she still don't have funding.
All right, Mkululi, thank you for calling us. Mr. Nongonko, Rebo is asking about the repayment system. They agreed on an amount, but they haven't been debiting it consistently. And that now when he looks at his statement, he sees that he still owes the same money he owed a couple of months ago, even though there's money that's been leaving his account. And then Mkululi, there seems to be an application, but the status on the system says eligible for funding, and it's been 4 months.
Okay. No, thank you. Thank you, Clement. I think firstly with Rebo, we should thank people like Rebo who are coming forward and are wanting to pay back, because paying back can only help, if you pay back, it can only help other people get the funding. So, Clement, this is one of the issues that we are busy addressing. Indeed, there is a problem with our collection system and also our statements. In fact, we haven't updated our statements in a while now, simply because of system issues. We're finding that it would apportion incorrect interests to our beneficiaries. So we are at work addressing that in terms of improving that system. And indeed, this is one of the areas that was flagged by the Auditor General to us, to say that we are not being consistent in how we recover money from students. So it is an area that is receiving attention. We have included some resources now to assist our team in improving the area of collection of funds and making sure that we debit consistently every month and also issue statements to all the beneficiaries. So it's an issue that is receiving attention. On the question of Mkululi, Clement, I think also we have not hidden the fact that our systems do need serious improvement. However, the fact that the student status is reflecting eligible perpetually when they look at it does not mean that the students are not funded in all the time. So how does this work? Maybe so that we explain it for the listeners. When we get an application, we assess whether a student qualifies. If it's a first-time entrant, we only look at the household income to see if they qualify. Once they qualify, they can only be funded, meaning now we can start paying for them when they are registered at an institution. Where we have not received registration information from an institution, there is no way that we'd be able to pay for that particular student, because for a student to be ultimately funded, you have to be registered. Now, the case that is being referred to, if it's a case that is applicable for 2 weeks, remember the students did apply. Now, what we would be needing is for institutions to submit proof of registration, thereby students can be funded and funds can start flowing through. But if our system or our processes are such that we are dependent on institutions. For new students, we want the students to be registered and we must get proof of registration from institutions. For continuing students, we need to get results from these institutions that we are studying at for us to then start having funds flowing through to the students. So sometimes there's this expectation that today you get approved and tomorrow you get money. Money flows once you are registered, and when we have received registration from an institution. However, what we are trying to do as part of our improvement project is to have direct access or direct integration with systems of institutions such that we do not have to wait for data to be submitted. We can just see as the student is registered, and as we can see from the systems that there are results, we should then be automatically making funding decisions. So that's where we are now.
All right. See, we're out of time, but thank you so much for making time. We've gotten the details from even the WhatsApp line. I haven't read most of the messages on the WhatsApp line because we've responded to them to give us their details. They've given us their details, and we're going to be sending an email now to your team, and hopefully in a week's time or so, we'll get an update. We'll arrange with your team so we can check how many of the cases that our listeners have asked your help for have been resolved. Thank you so much for making time. That's the CEO of NSFAS, Andile Nongongo.